This week, on a special episode of WebMD's Health Discovered podcast, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
It's a diagnosis that changes everything. So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the program. So if you're a subscriber over at Chapter and Verse, make it make sense. No one, just get that photo ready. No one asked for anything. They didn't ask for any of this. And then the Carlsons did this. They did this.
I smell that photo.
Dude. Okay, I am made of things here. I don't care if I agree with them or not. I'm going to come at you if you wear chinos and you go barefoot. So let's start with the obvious. Body lotion was created in 3000 BC. Did you guys know this? Very fascinating history about lotion. 3000 BC, that's before Christ, because those are the hallmarks that we use because we're not a bunch of godless atheists. And in fact, it was really ancient Egyptians, Kane, and Sumerians that first created body moisturization. Did you know that? They incorporated oils and honey and scents from flowers and animal fats, and they mixed it all together to nourish their skin. And a couple of thousand years later, in 300 BC, there was a Greek physician that actually, Kane, introduced, in listeners, the first cold cream. And in the late 1800s, there's a gentleman named Robert Cheeseborough, very fancy gentleman. He created Vaseline. But it was really in 1911, I think, when Nivea, they were the first with their so-called stable emulsion cream. And that was, 1911. That's when it was first mass-produced, widely commercially available. So my point in telling you this whole history is that for thousands of years, humans have had the ability to get emulsions and oils and moisturizing agents to lotion their dry ass skin. And they definitely didn't presume to be Shel Silverstein on the back of Where the Sidewalk Ends and pose in photos with bare feet, toes out, So I have a really big thing. I have a couple of hangups, right? I don't know if they were aware of this, but I just don't think that including a photo with your hobbit feet where your skin texture is very similar to Parmigiano Reggiano, it's just not helpful for anybody. I mean, I get that it's a podcast in somebody's home. I'm literally in my home podcast. I'm doing a broadcast. And Kane, I never show up like this.
No.
Have you ever seen me in a flip-flop in the studio?
No, never.
I don't do that. I don't wear that around my house. You know why? Because it's pool wear. Hell, not even in the Ozarks do people do this, okay? If you are going to the effort of wearing pressed chinos and a button down, maybe keep the hooves encased. You know what I'm saying? Why wear flip-flops with a jacket and chinos? It doesn't make sense to me. And you're like, Dana, this is probably really mean. It is, but not any meaner than being subjected to having to see it. You see, grown adult men do not sit around in matching khakis, toes out. They just don't. In beach wear or flip-flops, because it gives a just finished the Zoom meeting, maybe I'll spike your drink later vibes. It just gives that, you know what I mean? And I can't believe that Buckley is the younger one. Make that make sense.
Right.
Dude, hatred makes you age like milk. So, I mean, this is like Night at the Roxbury, this is gayer than a Bryan Singer pool party. It's just not done. Now, granted, I frequently do address wild premises that are made on that particular program. But again, neither of them are Shel Silverstein on the back of Where the Sidewalk Ends. And that's that author's very famous photo where his feet really were the center focus. And we're like, I think that's where my aversion to feet actually came from. I blame it on Where the Sidewalk Ends. But you have two leftist Statler and Waldorf cranks who they positively gut everyone else. So I feel like you volunteer as tribute when you do that,
Yeah.
So I saw that. I'm like, nobody's asking for this. And why even have your brother on the set? Like, what is he going to do? He's a Nepo baby. Did he also get rejected by the CIA? I'm just curious. I just don't get this whole thing. Again, I get it that you're in your house, probably, and you're doing your podcast. I think this is probably up in Maine. But still, you know, keep the hooves, put the hooves away. Because nobody wants to see dry-hocked old man feet. They don't want to see it. It's just not something that is done. If you're at the beach, fine. But if you're putting on a jacket and chinos and a button-down, dear heavens, encase the hooves. See what I'm saying? Because I just gave you the history. At least if you're going to, you know, break this cardinal rule, at least lotion them up to make it look like you somewhat do care about skincare and you don't spend your days walking on hot gravel. I'm just saying. So I had to get that out of the way because I'm like, what? Apparently this was like the promo photo to pick. Right. Why is this the promo photo? It just gives hippie. It gives patchouli, as the kids were to say. You know, why? And then I saw this. Hold up. I got this quote where Tucker was saying that he's going to be tormented for a long time by the fact that I played a role in getting Donald Trump elected. And I want to say that I'm sorry for misleading people, he says. This is cut 13. Here we go.
You and I and everyone else who supported him, you wrote speeches for him. I campaigned for him. I mean, we're implicated in this for sure.
Yes.
It's not enough to say, well, I changed my mind. Or like, oh, this is bad, I'm out. It's like in very small ways, but in real ways, you and me and millions of people like us are the reason this is happening right now.
Yes.
So I do think it's like a moment to wrestle with our own consciences. You know, we'll be tormented by it for a long time.
Not a single person voted for Trump because Tucker told them to. Let's be real. Not a single damn person voted for Trump because Tucker told them to vote for Trump. I mean, I get self-aggrandization to an extent, but Jiminy Christmas, let's come back down to earth, right? Ground control to Major Tom here. Let's come back to earth. Holy hell. So this, not a single person did that. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if anybody on the right who has been more even-handed with Trump. And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to put myself out here as greater than. No, I took a lot of hits for it. I took some professional hits for it. Absolutely did. I absolutely did. But I was consistent. I didn't agree with everything that the administration does. But he's not wrong on this. And the idea, this is what gets me. People are like, oh, well, Trump now is turning left. Are you high? I would think that the Trump accounts would have already sealed that deal, that was a leftist policy. There's several other things. I would dare venture forth, tariffs. There are a lot of other things. But you know what? I still voted for the man 3 times in a general election. But you're telling me that your objection, now suddenly you're going to take your ball and go home because he has the most conservative approach to Iran that a Republican could have? Are you kidding me right now? I mean, I get it that Tucker's friends with Hunter Biden because he had asked Hunter to help get his son, who apparently had been rejected from Georgetown, to get into Georgetown. Were they hitting the crack rock together? Because that's the only thing I can think of is that there was a little, you know, a little booger sugar that went, I don't know. I'm just asking questions. I'm just asking questions. I don't know. But it just seems really odd to me that this is the thing that you're going to take your ball and go home over. I mean, I could have done that a million times over, but I didn't, because you go to war with the soldiers that you have. That's it. And I don't think that he's wrong on here. The Trump accounts, oh my gosh, some of the two-way stuff, oh my gosh. But this, he's not wrong on at all. But I do question your acumen if this is the thing that makes you take your ball and go home. Well, you know, he wasn't going to get us in a forever war. Well, we're not in a forever war. Do you know that words have meanings? I mean, words do have meanings, and it's very important that we're accurate, and not because we're trying to nitpick over language, but because certain words invoke certain actions and certain penalties. Like in law, you know, certain words invoke certain legal penalties or protections, etc. Some go from a misdemeanor to a felony based on the language. This is why language is important. The first battle is always ever over language. That is how the War of Independence began. It was an information battle. And it went from there. Then it went hot. So it's incredibly important. We're not in a war. It is a response to decades upon decades and thousands of lives lost. That's what it is a response to. There is no new declaration to issue. There is nothing like that to do. And what gets me is if they were so upset that Trump has the ability to do this, then maybe they should read up a little bit more and say, well, then why didn't anyone do any sort of clarification work or revision of the 2001 authorized use of military force, through which context this response is entirely allowed? $1 million question, but nobody can answer it because either A, they didn't know about it, or B, they didn't care because it was more advantageous for them to not have to deal with it at the time. Oh, but how the tables turn. Very fascinating stuff, is it not? I just can't get over, like, the hawks. I can't. I mean, it's just, yeah, there you go. It's hobbits. Hobbit feet. It's legit hobbit feet.
Oh, there it is.
Oh my gosh. It's like hobbits meet Night at the Roxbury. Oh my gosh. But I'm saying they're like, oh, well, we got duped. You didn't get duped. All the people who are like, well, now Trump's left. He had policies that were already to the left. And are you seriously that stupid? Or are you just that much of a baby? Meh, he did something I don't like. Meh. It's not a forever war. It's a response. And it is actually the most conservative way that it can be approached. Now, again, like I said, I still voted for the man in every general election in which he ran. But yeah, what did you say? Say what you just said. I was duped as what?
The quote, I was duped, is the new shadow admission of being paid to, shift your original positions.
Right. Completely. Makes sense. So I don't know. I just, I think it's a sign that is losing. Remember, this was all a part of this multipolarity push, which isn't really transparent anymore. And that's, I mean, and the first part of multipolarity actually was like 10 years ago, longer than that, 15 years ago with the CRT stuff. So, I mean, I just think a bunch of people, the jig is up, right? It's all out there. And so now what do you have left to do? Well, we're going to take our ball and go home. I've known a lot of these people involved in all of this for a very long time. And I never got the sense that Tucker was a super conservative ever. I never got that. And there are a lot of people that worked at Fox that were like, he was pretty, if you listen to where he stands on a lot of stuff, he likes big government policies. Like, he really liked the Hungarian policy of paying people to have kids. Ignore the results of that, which were disastrous and actually did nothing to increase the birth rate. They did nothing. But that's a leftist policy. And that's the kind of, he has supported big government, big squish, Bush type policies. That is inarguable. I mean, there's reams of him writing about it, and there's tons of hours of footage of him promoting it. So for him to say, well, now he's on the left. You've been on the left. That's why you liked some of his policies before. But this is the most, and I'm not saying Trump's a leftist. I think Trump is practical. And I think that he responds well to affirmations. He responds well to positive reinforcement, things like that. And I think that he's done more conservative things than a lot of other Republican contemporaries, that's for sure. But this idea that he's wrong on Iran and therefore that's it, taking my ball and going home, that's like the dumbest thing to take your ball and go home over. That is honestly, it kills brain cells. It's so dumb. Stop. There's no need for this. Folks, I knew that I turned into an adult when I got excited about laundry detergent. I didn't think I was actually going to get excited about laundry products, but here we are. So I don't know if you've heard of laundry sauce. This is legit what I use. And I have this one. They sent me, because I've been purchasing this for several years now on my own. And the French saffron is like my absolute favorite. The bergamot is so good. And I love that I don't have to think about any of it. The smell alone is next level. I mean, this is one. So this is the Indonesian patchouli. And at first I was like, I don't want to smell like a hippie. But then I opened the box and it's amazing. Look how bougie this is too, by the way. Kane, have you smelled this?
I haven't.
Do you want to eat one? I'm kidding.
Throw it.
Oh, it smells so good. This is like what clean is supposed to smell like. And everything is so soft and it's so nice. I have eczema and I have no problems in using any of their stuff. But here's like what really sold me. I mean, first off, you have these pre-measured pods, right? That you just saw. One and done. There's no guessing with it. But also, I really like the scent boosting chips that they have. And you can get it in the Australian sandalwood, the Italian bergamot, the Egyptian rose, French saffron. I mean, clean, warm. It's just the greatest scent ever. But like I said, you don't have to overthink any of it. The pre-measured pods, the scent chips, there's no mess, no guessing. It's super easy. And they have all of these extras with it. I mean, you have the dryer sheets. You have, like I said, the scent boosters, the liquid fabric softener, and your clothes feel incredible. And the dryer sheets, which I have here, they just lock absolutely everything in. I mean, it smells clean and soft and that you actually care about your laundry. All the guests in my house, they love the way everything smells. And I know I'm not the only one, by the way, because apparently 90% of people feel the same way after they switch to Laundry Sauce. Now, here's the deal. Laundry Sauce just landed in Target, or you can say Target. You can find it in select stores, or you can do what I do and grab everything online, including the boosters and the conditioner and more. And for a limited time, all of you out there, you have the hookup. Take 20% off of your entire order when you use code Dana at laundrysauce.com/Dana. So that's 20% off everything at laundrysauce.com/Dana using promo code Dana. So upgrade your laundry game today. Seriously, you're going to actually look forward to laundry day.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman-Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Senator Chris Murphy, throw this tweet up. He was celebrating this was yesterday evening, this debunked report that Iranian tankers were able to actually navigate through the strait and go through. He was in Barcelona, by the way, just a couple of days ago, where he was slamming the administration. Barcelona, very, you know, in Spain, very socialist. They have their own problem with terror, and they're committing seppuku. But he retweeted this propaganda that said at least 26 Iranian shadow fleet vessels bypass U.S. blockade. Well, that didn't happen. That was debunked by numerous international press agencies, as well as the IAEA.
23, we have that report.
Yeah, that never, literally never happened. But he's repeating this. Listen, this is Trey Yanks this morning, Cut 23.
Yeah, the United States is allowing any vessels who are passing through this area to make their way to their final destination as long as they're not coming from Iranian ports. There were some reports overnight indicating that 26 vessels from Iran's shadow fleet were able to make it past the U.S. blockade. There is no evidence of that. And despite what one Democratic senator talked about, there is a concerted effort by the United States to ensure that any vessels that are coming from Iranian ports are turned around or seized, as we saw with that one cargo ship over the weekend.
So, Trey, that was just Iranian propaganda, right?
Yes, absolutely. And the shadow fleet that the senator is talking about is used to directly fund Iranian proxies across the Middle East, including Hamas, the Houthis, and Hezbollah, who are directly responsible for killing U.S. citizens. And so the shadow fleet is a very serious problem. It is not getting past the U.S. blockade, according to all reports and information that we have from the region. But it is a very serious issue that the U.S. Navy says they will crack down on, not just in the Persian Gulf, but also around the world, including in the Indo-Pacific.
You know what's funny is Chris Murphy was celebrating. He celebrated it when Iran said that they were going to have a blockade. And then now he's mad when Trump said that, no, we actually have the blockade and Iran can't do anything about it. And he's livid over it. But that's not unusual for someone like Chris Murphy, who has palled around with Iranian regime officials for, I mean, years and years and years. There's numerous reports. He held secret meetings during Biden-Harris. He held secret meetings in Munich with Iranian foreign ministers. I mean, that sounds very suspect, does it not? I mean, this is the kind of secret coordination of which he accused Trump of doing. And as it turns out, Trump actually didn't do it because they never could bring up criminal charges in his impeachment because there was no criminal wrongdoing. It was just the process that they wanted to be able to say he was impeached, but it's worthless without any kind of criminal conviction. And they didn't get one because there was no criminal activity. But Chris Murphy repeatedly met with Iranian regime officials all over Europe. Don't you find that suspect? Don't you think it's weird that there's been no transparency from Democrats on what Chris Murphy was talking about with these Iranian officials? I surely do. And by the way, these were technically illegal, off-the-books secret meetings. So if you want to have a discussion about criminal activity, Chris Murphy definitely, I mean, it does more than beg the question, because then I would be questioning the legitimacy of the premise. The premise is solid, thus the conclusion is as well. That's criminal activity for which he should be thoroughly investigated. I wouldn't be shocked if money exchanged hands between Iranian officials and Democrats like Chris Murphy, because he repeatedly met with them, top secret, off-the-books meetings. And this was right before. Do you all remember when Biden's, one of his top guys, one of his top advisors on Iran was literally heading a spy ring for Iran? Do you guys remember this story? I remember when it happened. This, where to even start? The FBI was investigating this. I mean, they put this envoy on leave because they realized, this is first from CNN, that there was a major security breach. Oh my gosh, they realized there's literally a top-level Iranian spy that's in the Biden administration. Holy wow. He was placed on leave without pay after his security clearance, Rob Malley, was suspended because they were questioning his handling of classified material. Basically, whether or not he was sending it to Iran. Don't you think it's interesting? I do. His administration was rife with this type of stuff. And you have Iranian spies almost at every, I mean, that have absolutely infiltrated the United States government. And that's just one of them. So Chris Murphy has secret off-the-book meetings, repeated meetings with high-level Iranian officials, including their foreign defense minister, etc. Then you have one of Biden's top advisors, this envoy to Iran, who was placed on leave, had his security clearance suspended. Washington Free Beacon had a whole list of names of people who were involved in the administration that ended up having their security clearances suspended over suspicion of being involved in Iranian spying. Don't you think that's fascinating? And here Democrats are circling the wagons to cheer on a terror regime because their hatred of the administration is so intense that it causes them to hate their country. Is that Sun Tzu fulfilled or what? I mean, unbelievable. I mean, then that's true. These people would rather burn their own nation to the ground just to rule over the ashes. That's something else. So this is Democrats. Chris Murphy's a top-ranking Democrat in the House. He's Nancy Pelosi's right-hand man. So then you have actual sitting senators cheering a terror regime. Now, he came out later and tried to argue that, oh, you know, he was just being sarcastic. That's what he was saying. I think we have this audio. He was saying, "I." They caught him in the hallway. They're like, oh, I was just being sarcastic. You know, sarcasm doesn't really work so well on social media. Listen to this. This was his weak excuse.
Twitter's become kind of a cesspool. I probably should give up on sarcasm on Twitter. Obviously, anybody that's seen anything that I have said about Trump's war knows that I think it's bungled, mismanaged, and he should end it as quickly as possible. But sarcasm is not something, I guess, that's allowed on Twitter any longer.
No, sarcasm requires intelligence, which is why everybody knows that Murphy wasn't being sarcastic. And, of course, people that make it happen, like the company that does Ghostbed, this is such a great company. I just got their pillows. I legit just got their pillows. I haven't used them yet, but I'm going to be using them tonight and testing them out. I got the super firm one, and then I got the one that is so soft and squishy. I think it's made of marshmallows. I'm not quite sure. But Ghostbed is the only mattress you're ever going to need for your entire life. I don't care what you're sleeping on now. It's hobo. You're sleeping on a hobo mattress. If you have not switched to Ghostbed, I don't know. Why do you hate your life? Why? Why are you trying to sabotage yourself before you even get out of bed in the morning? Ghostbed does not build mattresses like regular mattress people or companies. You know what I mean? They build engineered sleep systems because they look at mattresses like health equipment. It's designed, right? Your mattress is designed for relief and recovery. You're sleeping, you're healing, you're recovering at night. You can't do that if you are fighting to get comfortable, if you're overheating, if your mattress is just awful and you wake up sore and unrested. That is not doing you or anybody else any good. You need to switch to Ghostbed today because that is specifically why Ghostbed was made and created, designed to help with those exact issues. Support, cooling, actual comfort so you can legitimately rest. It's just built so much better. You can tell the seaming, the materials, just the construction, just looking at it, you can tell that it is just a better built mattress. And you get 101 nights to try it in your home. And if you don't feel the difference, you send it back. Risk-free. It's so easy. Visit ghostbed.com/Dana and use promo code Dana to get my mattress. And right now they're offering all of you out there, my audience, the lowest prices of the season. Plus you get an extra 10% off site wide. That's ghostbed.com/Dana, promo code Dana.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly. And I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
And later on, at the bottom of the hour, we got Congressman Brandon Gill is going to be joining us. So we were talking about this story that came out of Mexico. It was actually at one of these ziggurats, one of these ruins, a tourist site, where this 27-year-old, I'll only say his name once, Julio Ramirez, who is apparently a Nazi sympathizer who has tons of photos of himself where he makes the Heil Hitler salute. And he was also obsessed with mass shooters. And he left at the scene a weirdo, bizarre, AI-generated framed photo of him with the Columbine killers. And this guy is a Mexican national. And he's from Kane. What's this? He's a...
Teotihuacan?
Yeah.
Is that where...
Teotihuacan. Teotihuacan. Yeah.
Teotihuacan.
How does a dude like that get obsessed with Columbine and Hitler?
It's that damn internet.
You think it's the internet?
Yeah.
So he had opened fire on people at this tourist attraction. And apparently, according to the witnesses, was screaming at them saying that this is the place for sacrifices and I'm going to sacrifice you. I will say that the contagion is real. That mass casualty. It really is. He apparently is part of, was described as being part of a dark online subculture, the true crime community, which glorifies school shooting. Okay, that's what true crimers do. Those are people like my cousin who goes to, they go to the conventions and look at all the grisly details of these cases. And it's like, you know, Nancy Drew. That's what they do. So I don't know if I completely agree with that description, but yeah, he, was running around and on the ziggurat saying this is a place of sacrifice and I'm going to sacrifice you here. It was all over the internet because everybody was recording it. He was putting people, hostages, face down on the stone steps and then began. He killed a Canadian woman. And he was carrying, they said, a digital tablet and shouting. You had 6 Americans, 3 Colombians, 1 Russian, 2 Brazilian, and 1 Canadian taken to the hospital. The youngest injured was 6. The oldest was 61. But tourists were running for their lives. And the president of Mexico, Claudia Sheinbaum, said, well, what happened in Teotihuacan pains us deeply. I express my deepest sympathy to those affected and their families. She said it was going to be investigated. I mean, you can't go anywhere. I thought it was immediately cartel violence. So you're telling me now the cartels there aren't the only thing you got to worry about. Good night. Right. Yeah, they said that he had a backpack and he had all these materials about Columbine in it. And he carried it on the anniversary of the massacre. So, yeah, he wounded 13 others, took his own life. They said, officials say that he acted alone, but he studied the site in advance. So now you have copycats hitting tourist attractions. Just great. Just great. We have a lost world, that is for sure. And it's not getting any better with stuff like this. Check this story out. This is wild. So in Colorado, you know, again, what else is in Colorado? This is so insane. A Satanist student won a religious accommodation from a Colorado school district. This is so performative. It's the Elizabeth School District. And they said the digital hall pass system conflicts with her beliefs. Her parents requested that she be exempted from the hall pass system. Okay, what makes you, they said they don't want to be violated by invasive digital controls. And they said that the digital hall pass that monitors and restricts the time students spend in the restroom apparently goes against the satanic cult has a tenet? They said it goes against the third tenet. The body is inviolable and it's subject to one's own will alone. Oh, this is so dumb. So I think a digital hall pass is stupid. You're raising a bunch of kids to be used to the surveillance state. If you can't trust like high schoolers to go to the bathroom or junior high schoolers to go to the bathroom without a digital hall pass, then you've got bigger problems. That I think that's dumb. Would you agree with that, Kane? Oh, yeah. That is ridiculous. Oh, yeah. That's why I don't like Elf on the Shelf. That just is like an introduction to surveillance. I don't like it. So I guess the student decided to invoke this, like, exemption. This is so dumb. This is just so dumb. And they said that they've had apparently several lawsuits. I don't know. But their little church, they call it the Satanic Temple. And they said that the temple's lawyers stepped in. They said it was a cut and dry case of someone's bodily autonomy, etc. Where do you get the, I'm just very curious, where do they get the bodily autonomy from? Where do they think that comes from?
Actually comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting, isn't it? I just think it doesn't pass a logic check. It doesn't. But it's a stupid program. I mean, I think it's equally dumb to be like, well, my devil church says, you know, that's ridiculous. It makes me feel like we're back in the 90s and demon fevers are going crazy. But, you know, I also think that the digital hall pass is just, it's dumb. That is just dumb. I think you're just prepping kids for surveillance. You either trust them to go to the restroom or not. That's indicative of bad schooling and bad parenting. Yeah, you can pretty much, you can do like Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, Kane. That's like somebody did that just to prove a point.
Wow. This is unreal.
Yeah. But overall, digital hall pass, insanity. Now, here's some more school stuff. So in California, they have a school that excluded white kids from a segregated social justice field trip. It was a racial exclusion, and they were practicing equity. A California school district barred white students from a taxpayer-funded field trip that was focused on social justice. The Albany Unified School District organized the trip to Virginia exclusively for young men and women of color from Albany High School. And they were touring historically black colleges and universities, HBCUs. They visited civil rights sites, etc. That is also idiotic to exclude anybody from that. Isn't the whole point? Isn't the whole claim that there isn't enough shared knowledge on history? Well, then why would you exclude people from learning about history? That's so dumb. They said, well, this unique mentoring program encourages Albany High School young men and women of color to develop social, personal, and academic success skills. I feel like that's also, like, with only other people of similar ethnicity, because it's pretty siloed. It's pretty narrow-minded. I mean, you have to live in a world with everyone. Wouldn't you want them to be able to flow freely through every type of group and human population subgenre possible? I mean, would that not be the true measure of success? This was like the argument that I heard all the time with homeschooling. People were saying, well, they're not going to get any socialization. You mean socialization with only their same-aged peers that all look like them? That doesn't make any sense. And I apply the same argument here. That doesn't make any sense. How is that really a measure of social success when it's just your same age peers of the same color? It's not. It's a cop-out dressed up in discrimination and marketed as equity. That's what this is. So apparently this isn't the first time this has happened. They have like a whole local control and accountability plan. And hiring practices follow the same pattern. So it's DEI. That is, wow. I mean, just, it's a shame because you have an opportunity to teach white students about HBCUs and all of these exact same. I mean, why could they not go? Does their whiteness somehow exclude them? Is there like an invisible force field around some of these monuments that they were visiting, the Virginia Museum of History and Culture and the Civil Rights Memorial and Black Heritage Trail? I'm just curious. You're seeding division by doing this. That's what this does. It seeds division. And that's not education. It's not education at all. But this is that it's all done as experimental. Now, what's more, let me pull this up, because this takes place in another school. This was in Park Center Senior High, Osseo Schools. It's in the northwest suburbs of Minneapolis. So now they are doing a remodeling project at this high school, which includes a prayer room and foot washing stations, which don't make any sense. Clearly, it's designed for Muslim students. Can Christians ask to pray in the room? Yeah, I'm curious. I'm just saying they should be able to demand equal accommodation to that room. So interesting. So why would you need foot washing? You're in Minneapolis. You're not wearing sandals in the desert. You're in Minneapolis. You have to take your socks and shoes off and wash your feet. What the hell's wrong with you? Well, I don't get that. Does that make sense? That seems very anachronistic, Kane.
Yeah,
I think it's more symbolic than anything else.
It doesn't make any sense. But Christians should ask to pray in the room and see what happens. I'd be very curious. Because schools aren't supposed to mandate or encourage prayer. But it does seem like that's happening more and more, but just not if you're Christian, right? Like all the people who scream about separation of church and state, they disappear like Homer into the bushes. That meme, whenever, oh, well, can Christians do the same thing? I'm curious. But that's, this is, it's all like colonization. It's what all of this stuff ends up becoming. And wait, there's more. So across the pond, BBC, remember the whole story that we had about Sabrina Carpenter and the Arabic yodeling? So apparently now the BBC is leading, they're educating viewers about Arabic yodeling. Why? I mean, what's the purpose of that? The concert was in California, for crying out loud. They feel like it's necessary to, again, whatever they can do to try to curry favor for themselves. But they had BBC reporters that were making, they were, they're on video making these Arabic tribal sounds to educate their viewers after the whole Sabrina Carpenter thing, which was rude and it interrupted a quiet portion of her performance. And it's weird because it's all women, I think. I mean, the point wasn't that someone was doing it. The point was that someone chose a quiet moment in a concert during a ballad performed by said artist at the piano to do that. If you can't understand the difference, you aren't evolved and civilized enough as a human being to take part in the debate. And it's all these British white women doing it. All of them are doing it. Well, there's one who's a still British woman. They're all British women. What is up with that? I just, and people pay for a BBC license to do this stuff. But that's the point is that not that someone did it. The point is that someone did it during a live performance, during a piano ballad. Like, have respect for the performance. But everything has to be hijacked. I'm the victim always. This is Islamism. I'm the victim always. Everything has to be about me. That's Islamism to a perfect T. All right, folks. So I want to tell you about something that actually works. This is the world's number one expanding garden hose and their newest upgrade. It's the Pocket Hose Ballistic. I like anything that has the word ballistic after it. I don't have time for cheap, stupid equipment that fails after one season. I am done fighting with it. I'm done with the kinks, Eric Swalwell. I'm done with the tangles. I'm done with the leaks. I'm done with all of it. It's a waste of money. It's enraging. So that's why the Pocket Hose Ballistic, that's why you need to have this thing because it's built different. I could beat somebody to death with this. It's made, it's reinforced with a liquid crystal polymer. Now, you don't know what that is, but you do know what it's been used in before. Bulletproof vest. So that means, my friends, the strength is real. Real durability, no nonsense. It's not going to mess up your garden. It's not going to like tie a knot around you. If you're tired of replacing your cheap hose every year, this is your fix. The ballistic is lightweight. It's super easy to handle. And I like what comes with it. It comes with the pocket pivot. So no more fighting the spigot. And ladies, it's gold. Where it moves, you move, you move, it moves. It's so simple. It's smart. You're done. For a limited time, when you purchase a new pocket hose ballistic, you're going to get that free, you see it right here, 360-degree rotating pocket pivot and a free thumb drive nozzle. Just text Dana to 6430. That's Dana to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Joining us right now from the great state of Texas, great Republic of Texas, Congressman Brandon Gill, who's had quite a lot to say about the SAVE Act, the Dignity Act, and this flirtation that some of the GOP seem to have with amnesty. Congressman, what is happening?
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's really disappointing. You know, whenever you run on mass deportations, you don't turn around and give your voters amnesty, and yet there's some people who'd like to do just that. I mean, just last week, we voted to extend Haitian temporary protective status, which is essentially backdoor amnesty for Haitian illegal aliens, people who came into our country illegally. It's everything that we ran against. Politics comes down to just doing what you said you were going to do on the campaign trail in so many ways. And if we would do that, I think we'll be in good shape. But we've got a lot more work to do.
And this belief that some have expressed that support, like, you know, the Dignity Act, et cetera, they act like, well, this is the way to create a big tent. But this is not the way that you go about, Congressman, creating a big tent. That's not what this is.
No, I mean, this will not create a big tent. This will burn the Republican and the conservative tent to the ground. The Dignidad Act is amnesty, and you can, try to obfuscate that however you want. But the reality is that there are 12 million illegal aliens, roughly, who came into this country prior to the Biden administration, who right now are subject to deportation. Under the terms of the Amnesty Act, they would no longer be subject to deportation. That is amnesty. On top of that, the Dignidad Act would make it more difficult to deport other illegal aliens who are in the country, and it would allow some illegal aliens who have already been deported to come back into the country. On top of that, it would massively increase the number of work visas that we give out and massively increase legal immigration, all things that the American people, especially Republican voters, don't want. So that's why I've been so vocal about this, because I don't think this is a bill we should be anywhere near.
No, you're completely right on that. We're talking with Congressman Brandon Gill from Texas. I like how the New York Post put it. They said, quote, "The legislation does try to cover a naked amnesty with a fig leaf of provisions for strengthening the border and immigration enforcement." Because my understanding, especially with E-Verify and these enforcement mechanisms, this is already on the table for Republicans to use. So why are they presenting it like Salazar and others? Like these are new tools, but only if you just pass this bill.
Yeah, exactly. And this is pitched as a bipartisan immigration solution, which we've heard bipartisan comprehensive immigration before. This isn't the first time we've heard that. But as a general matter, we simply do not agree on fundamental principles with the Democrat Party. And if we're having to, from the very beginning, give on major issues here, like amnesty, to get immigration reform or border security done, I think that we're making the wrong move. Amnesty is a poison pill for any immigration bill. And you're right, there's a lot of border security that we need to get done now, but we need to do it without giving amnesty to illegals. What this bill essentially does is it codifies past open borders. That's what amnesty is. Yeah. It says that, it says that the results of open borders up until now are something that we're going to live with forever. And that's not something that I'm willing to do.
No. And I'm thankful that you are so vocal about this because, some of these people like Maria Salazar and some of these others, they've been equally vocal in their support of it. And it's giving Republican voters going into midterms some really, wrong ideas. And you look at polling of the House doesn't have a lot of room to play on this. I mean, the prognosticators out there are saying it could be bad in midterms.
Yeah, and what better way to demoralize our Republican base, the people who are most loyal to the conservative movement, who want to see deportations, who voted for that? What better way to demoralize them than by passing an amnesty bill? The good thing here is I think that most Republicans in the House recognize that. In fact, I think the vast majority of Republicans in the House recognize that. The difficult thing is that we've got a very small majority right now that we do need to grow in the midterms, and we're not going to grow that by talking about amnesty.
Right. No, completely agree. Congressman, I wanted to ask you as well. I mean, I know you're in the House, but, you know, you got insight into what happens in the Senate. What is happening with this, the SAVE Act, and your best guess as to what Senator Thune's strategy is here, if he has one? I have no idea why this has stalled out. You all did your job in Congress, like, repeatedly with this, I should add. And now it's just been stalled in the Senate. There are a lot of questions. Now people are questioning even Thune's integrity, which, you know, he's kind of, you know, making that an open option with the way that this is being shepherded through. What is the strategy here? I mean, are they, I don't get it.
Well, it looks like Senator Thune is going to resume debate on the Save America Act at some point in the near future. I think he's said publicly that what he wants to do is make sure that we can get the DHS funding across the finish line or other short-term urgent issues first. You know, what he's done in the past, what the Senate has done, is they began debate on the Save America Act, which just beginning debate in the Senate is at least a step in the right direction. And the idea was you begin debate. He did what's called filling the tree, which means that he allowed Republican amendments during that debate process that they would debate and discuss, not Democrat amendments. He filled the tree to only be Republican amendments. The hope is that that would then morph into a talking filibuster. Remember, the point of a talking filibuster is to end the debate stage of the legislative process in the Senate by discussing it, debating it, until everybody has had their turn to speak. And if everybody can speak as long as they want, then that can take quite some time. And each senator is allowed to speak twice. During that legislative day. So that is the hope, that this morphs into a talking filibuster. But we need the Senate to restart debate to kind of re-engage that process. And you're right, it has been stalled while there's been other legislation pending.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, the American people are demanding the Save America Act. I mean, this is a 90-10 issue. And particularly after 4 years of open borders, the American people are saying, I do not want our midterm elections to have illegal aliens voting in them.
Right.
I mean, it's that simple.
It's a super, yeah, it's very easy to understand that. And you mentioned polling. I mean, I have not seen, I mean, independents, looking at a number of different surveys, independents, moderates, likely voters, et cetera. I mean, this is like over 60%. I mean, there hasn't, I haven't seen anything under actually like 59, I think was the lowest. And that was at the very beginning of this whole thing several months ago. So this is like wild, wild support for this from everybody, from independents to even moderate Democrats, all the way to the most hardcore MAGA Republicans. So if they're being, you know, lied to by the press, thinking that they're going to take a hit for this during midterms, I mean, they're grossly misinformed. Hopefully they can turn this around. Are you optimistic?
You know, I like to stay optimistic while we're in the fight here, and I think we have to be, because this is a must-pass bill for Republicans in the midterms. I mean, we need to be able to go back to our voters in November and be able to say, you elected a Republican Congress and a Republican Senate, and here's what we did. Here's some major wins. Whenever you have one that is this a piece of legislation that is this universally praised, that's something we have to get done. You know, you hear the Senate talk a lot about all kinds of excuses as to why they couldn't do it. The biggest one being, we cannot use a talking filibuster because we need to maintain the institution of the Senate, as if the talking filibuster is married to the integrity of the Senate. And I think we're at a point where most people realize that has just become an excuse to do nothing. And in effect, sticking with the filibuster as it is currently being used is actually undermining the integrity of the Senate and the institutional, in many ways, the institutional legitimacy of the Senate. So I think for the long-term health of our country, apart from the politics of this, apart from the fact that election integrity is so crucial to the American experiment, just for the longevity of the Senate, I think this is necessary.
Exactly. I mean, I've told people before, we had people at my own home address, we had people illegally registered to vote using my home address, and it took forever to clear it up with Board of Elections. And I mean, it's like, it's not a difficult process, but it's like, you know, you have to wait for a very long time, and then you have to get that vote struck or the vote struck. And it is a very real thing. And I'm just like, that's just, you know, we know voter fraud's out there. We know people are gaming the system. We cannot go into such a hotly contested midterm without that protection for the vote. So I know POTUS is really putting the pressure on. I'll give you last words on this, Congressman.
Yeah, you know, and if you can imagine that's what's happening to you, imagine what's going on in blue states where you walk up to a voting booth and you say, my name is so-and-so, and they hand you a ballot, and that's all.
Yeah.
They don't check your ID. You never had to prove that you're an American citizen. And, you know, every time an illegal alien votes in our elections, that effectively disenfranchises an American citizen whose vote is canceled out. So if we want to have if we want to be a sovereign country and we want to have free and fair elections, we have to pass the Save America Act.
I think it's fair to say that not passing this is taxation without proper representation. And about 251 years ago, we kicked off a whole movement to change that. So people in D.C. might want to remember it. Congressman Brandon Gill, we always appreciate your fight. Thank you, sir, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It is the good people over at Chapter that exists to make life less confusing for you. If you are on Medicare, or maybe you're getting close to getting on Medicare, you're always encouraged to go to the government website or talk to some rando insurance agent. And then, you know, surprise, your plan does not cover a single thing that you need, but yet you're overpaying still, which doesn't make any sense. Medicare is confusing on purpose, and that's exactly how people end up in the wrong plans, overpaying and undercovered. You really need to find someone who's actually on your side, and that's what Chapter does. They exist to cut through the confusion. They don't sell you on one or two companies. They're the only advisor that compares every Medicare plan across the country to find out what fits your doctors, your prescriptions, and your budget. It's an honest translator for Medicare. They explain your options in plain English and help you avoid plans that are great for insurance companies, but terrible for actual people. So the people who work with Chapter on average save about $1,100 a year on healthcare costs just by getting on the right plan instead of accepting whatever was pushed at them. It's free and fast. In under 20 minutes, Chapter can review your current coverage, walk you through your choices if you're about to enroll, so you know exactly what you're picking and why. So if you're already on it or getting close, they'll answer your questions and clear up any confusion, and you'll feel confident instead of overwhelmed. Take control of your Medicare. Dial #250 on your phone and say the words My Medicare. It's #250. Say the words My Medicare. Get your options reviewed with Chapter today.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, first up, I'm going to this headline first because I was most excited about it. El Salvador banned this specific type of haircut. It's called the Edgar. It's a bowl cut with straight bangs right in the front. And they have banned it in all public schools in El Salvador as a part of restoring discipline. Because apparently it's a very, I mean, this is like, you can't get more Latino than this headline. Apparently it's a haircut for gang members. Now, some people are saying this is totalitarianism. If I saw this haircut, Kane, my first thought is not to think that you're in a gang, but that you're Simple Jack from Tropic Thunder, because that's this haircut.
Absolutely. Or time traveler.
I mean, is it banned? I mean, did they ban it because it's associated with gang aesthetic or because it looks so stupid? People question your ability to function as an adult.
Hopefully both.
I'm just wondering. I'm just, you know, going to put that out there. So that's the Edgar. So don't get that haircut in El Salvador if you're in public school. All right. We also, that's such a bad haircut. It's so bad. Apparently, they've done scans of this area where they're arguing that Noah's Ark, the resting place of Noah's Ark, has been found. They've been looking at this mountaintop for a little while, but so far, it looks pretty legit. They said that this is, they're arguing that it's pretty definitive that they've found it. So it seems, that seems legit. Huh. Now, also, another big shakeup, Apple. Tim Cook is out kind of suddenly. He's going to remain as executive chairman, and John Ternus is going to replace Tim Cook as CEO. Maybe their next iteration of the iPhone won't look as stupid as the iPhone 17 looks with its giant beveled top. I can't stand it. We'll talk about this later. A Canadian tourist was killed in a Mexican archaeological site. Apparently, the guy was a Hitler-loving nutbag. We're going to talk about that and more. Lots on the way. Stick with us. Well, I'm going to tell you, you're going to see some different reactions with the markets here, depending on what happens today. I mean, everything was going crazy yesterday. It's been a wild ride. It's like even hard to even, it's hard to even figure it out for headlines. But with Noble Gold, let me tell you, these are advisors. They know this industry inside and out, and they have been advising on precious metals for well over a decade. These are people that you can trust who are going to clear up any confusion that you may have and answer all of your questions. I mean, it's a very easy process that takes, what, maybe about 20 minutes. And if you're adding gold and silver, you want to work with someone that you can trust. And this is where the white glove service from Noble Gold comes in. They guide your every step. There are no impersonal transactions. It's a very customer-first focus, and they're going to help you make informed decisions. This is not about meeting sales objectives. So if you want to see how physical gold and silver can fit into your portfolio, download Noble Gold Investments Free Wealth Protection Kit at noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana.
When I first heard the words, you have lung cancer, I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything. And yet, the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lots of places can accidentally expose you to identity theft. Doctor's offices, online retailers, insurance companies, the list goes on. Thankfully, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. LifeLock keeps an eye on your personal information, credit applications, finances, and more. And if they find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, they alert you right away. All through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Even better, alerts are automatically activated the moment you become a LifeLock member. No extra work on your part. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Don't wait. Join LifeLock now. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Well, 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 it looks like Witkoff and Kushner and Rubio and Hegseth were all seen arriving at the White House, La Maison Blanche. They're at the White House. Hmm. That's interesting, Kane.
Sure is.
Hmm. Oh, and then hold up. This is some Pakistani, Pakistani sources. We have not received any apology from the American or Iranian side for not participating. Go pound some sand, dude, because you all mucked everything up when you were insisting that Lebanon be a part of a ceasefire, which they were never party to. They denied it and the U.S. denied it. So no apologies are going to be given for your previous insubordination. Accept the mercy. All right. Today in stupidity, Kane.
All right. Let's go with Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. That's cut 10.
Oh, golly. He's still
this,
out there.
This statement makes me laugh so much because he believes what he's saying here. Listen to this.
And all of the sudden, you've got infrastructure. We keep thinking we're going to have, you know, catch lightning in a bottle and the next great orator is going to come along. If this were about having the best ideas, Democrats would win every election.
Really? What?
You know this better than off by anybody, Michael.
Wait, if it was about having good ideas, Democrats would even be part of the conversation. I don't get what the hell he's saying here. But it does make me laugh.
And yeah.
Tampon Tim continues to embarrass
me. It does make me laugh. It's just annoying, and I want him to stop talking. Folks, we'll cover everything tomorrow. Bring you all the latest with Deadline Iran. In the meantime, have a great rest of your night. Follow us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. Get the podcast, Substack. Back with you tomorrow.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
When Kohler, global design leader in luxurious kitchen and bath products, asked me to be their ambassador for timeless, elegant, durable cast iron, I said, I'm in. Soon after, I was in their Kohler, Wisconsin foundry, watching molten iron poured, enamel applied by hand, and the beautiful finished pieces ready to ship. Since 1883, Kohler cast iron has been crafted by incredible artisans, and seeing it firsthand gave me a whole new appreciation for their craftsmanship. Now, I'm proud to lend my stamp of approval to my favorite Kohler cast iron products for their durability, beauty, and enduring style. Shop my curated picks at Kohler.com. As the Kohler cast iron ambassador, I say, long live cast iron.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.